Okay, Mazel Tov to all those who finished Seder Moed. This is very exciting. We're going to pick up with Maseches Yevamos, starting Seder Nashim, a whole new Seder. A lot of different topics here in Seder Nashim. It's mainly going to be, obviously, at the beginning, not really the beginning of Maseches, a lot of it has to do with Nashim, actually the process of getting married. That is going to be discussed more in more Maseches Ksubos, Maseches Kedushin, and obviously divorce is going to be Maseches Gittin. And Yevamos is going to be more the concept of Yibum. It's very interesting. The Rambam in Perish Mishnayos discusses why did we start with Maseches Yevamos before maybe Kedushin or Yevamos? Why is Kedushin last? Okay, that's a whole, not for now. We don't have time to get into that. But we are going to be discussing a basic introduction to Maseches Yevamos. Maseches Yevamos is a little bit of a more difficult Masechta. It's considered one of the hardest ones to do. But Be'ez Shem, we'll be able to go through it as best as we can. And so basically, the basic concept of Yibum is obviously, but those who know, if a man dies without children, then the Torah tells us that his brother is allowed or mitzvah to marry the widow in order to have a shame for Achiv. And this is a very interesting concept, both Alpi Kabbalah, Alpi Nigle. Why exactly do we do this? It's a concept of Gilgul, maybe bringing back the brothers Neshama in certain form. Okay, that's the concept, the basic idea. This is already, we know that this already was done in some form or another before even the time of Matan Torah. We know the whole concept with Er and Onan, that what they did over there, when Er's widow had to be died, so we wanted to have Onan to do Yibum. Okay, so that's also Akash Baruch Hu had Yehuda. That's how the whole thing would happen with the Yehuda and Tamar. That whole story was a process of Yibum, even though it wasn't exactly because Yehuda was the father-in-law, so that's not allowed. But before the time of Matan Torah, so then there wasn't Isser for them to marry each other. So that's why that was the Bechina of Yibum. But basic halachas of Yibum, that if you have no offspring, one of the brothers is going to marry the widow. This is called Yibum. Generally, there's an Isser Daraisa to marry a person's wife. The Torah suspends the Isser in this form in order to have the mitzvah be done. A very interesting halacha over here that that's the case. Now, there's a concept called Yevam LaShuk, that it's an Isser Daraisa for the, if the woman is waiting for Yibum. So the brothers had not performed Yibum yet. So it would be an Isser Daraisa for her to then go on and marry somebody else until Yibum or Chalitza, which we're going to discuss in a moment, has been done. Yibum, the first option. Yibum is carried out. How do we do Yibum? Yibum, the Midaraisa, is really only through having relations. It's very interesting. Normally, right, the Kiddushin is Kesef Shtar or Bia. However, when it comes to Yibum, we're going to learn it out. It's specifically only done through relations. That's what had become the mitzvah on a level of Doraisa. Midirabbanan, they established that a person has to do a maimer to establish he's going to marry her first, whether give her ksuba or stuff like that. We're going to get into that. That is all Midirabbanan. Midiraisa, that is how it's done. Now, when a person does not want to do Yibum, so then, in that case, we do chalitza. Chalitza literally is taking off. Taking off here is chalitza, is referring to specifically taking off the shoe. This is going to be the procedure at which a person is permitted to then marry afterwards at that point. And after that, and the chalitza, she is usher then to marry, then it would be an isser d'oraisa again for her to marry any of the brothers. Only chalitza can remove her. Regular divorce would not help. Only chalitza is the way to get her out. Regular get would not be a way to get her out of the relationship. And it's a very interesting halacha. There's a machlokas de'achorim, a chakira, whether is there a mitzvah, once the woman doesn't want to do yibum, and the man doesn't want to yibum, so now is there a mitzvah, there's a chiyuv to then do chalitza, or let's say for whatever reason a woman is a strange woman, she just wants to not marry anybody else, she doesn't want to do chalitza, can you just ignore it and just leave her just not being able to get married? Is there then a comment on the brother to then do chalitza? Is there a mamash chiyuv? That's a very interesting chakira in the achorim, but that's a that is the interesting point of chalitza. So there's going to be times where it's very important where on a level of Jerabanan, it's usher for this, the potential Yavam, the one of the brothers to marry this woman, but it's only at the level of Jerabanan. So really, Midaraisa, there'd be Chayiv and Yibum. So in those circumstances, we're going to see, you have to perform chalitza. You'd have to do the chalitza as a chumra in order to, because to release you on the level of Daraisa, to release her, to be able to remarry somebody else, then we do chalitza. We do this process of being able to her, to get married, and also where Yibum is questionable. All these circumstances are going to be times, l'chumra, we're going to make them do chalitza and not Yibum. So the mitzvah Yibum is going to apply even to multiple brothers, meaning they're all going to be shayach to be able to do Yibum. However, if one of them is forever related some form or another, let's say one of the brothers, that's what's going to be considered an erva, right? Erva is usually there's 21 arayos, 15 of them is potentially able to have the relationship be that the man is possible to be an erva to the woman that they're married to, but not to the brother. So let's say, for example, let's say if a man wants to marry his niece, right? So if he marries his niece, then Rahman al-Tlan, he dies. So then one of the brothers will be the father. That's obviously going to be usher for that woman to marry them. So then, but the other brothers would potentially be allowed to do Yibum in that circumstance. So that's what's called, that's going to be an example where something is going to be permitted to do it for one brother and not the other. And then we have what's called the tsaros, which is the co-wife of an erva. So not only is the erva, so let's say the woman, let's say there's only one other brother, and the one other brother is usher for the woman to get remarried to, so then even the other wife of that person is going to be usher to do yibum as well. So that's going to be usher for them. So then, again, these are where the things get complicated, because we're going to see, like, different circumstances, who married who and how they marry it. It's very, very helpful in all these circumstances to have charts. I very highly recommend charts if you can find them. Oz Vahadar put out a good one. I'm sure the Art Scroll has good charts as well. Just to help yourself understand it, they're very, very complex. And we see that some of the dafim aren't going to be so long, but they're very, very difficult with the charts and figuring out who's the brother of who. So that's a very highly recommended, is to have it in front of you just to try to see how to work it out, and with an explanation of the chart also, not just reading the chart, but to see how it goes through. And the actual halacha, just a few more introduction remarks before we get started, is that this halacha is only going to apply to paternal brothers. The law of Yibam applies only to brothers who share the same father, not through the mother. That's not going to be the chai of the mitzvah of Yibam. There are also people who are usher. Let's say one of them is a mamzer, one of the brothers are mamzer, then obviously it's usher for him to do yibum, and so then he, in that case, she has to do chalitza with him. And then again, we're going to have a concept of zakuka. So any of the woman who falls to any of her brother-laws, it's so that they're going to be shayach to yibum. So then what happens is, it's called zika. Zika, that's how we call the zakuka. Means the term yivama and zakuka are, that zakuka is used when referring to how her bond to the person. So it's just important to understand that zakuka is the bond literally between the two of them. And maimer, as we already explained, is this point as well. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, I think with that, we're hopefully ready to begin the Masechta. Again, this is very difficult. Be'ez Hashem, we'll have extra siyata d'shmaya in continuing this. Again, I also wanted to apologize. I didn't apologize at the beginning that I for the last 2 weeks, I was not able to do Chagiga. I really wasn't feeling well for a week. I had some weird virus that made me very nauseous, and Baruch Hashem, I was feeling better, but it was already the last few days. I didn't want to just pick up from there. I figured we'll start with Yevamos, clean slate, Masechta, and Seder Nashim. And hopefully, I try my best. Again, I'm going to try my best to be able to send out the recordings daily. With that, I think we're ready to start the very first Mishnah. So it says the first Mishnah. Chamesh Yisrei Nashim Turos Tzaroseim. That there are 15 women who exempt their Tzaroseim here. We're going to define them as their co-wife. Meaning, there are 15 possible arayos that are going to be listed in the Mishnah, who it's possible that when the husband will die, you can be in a situation where that woman herself is usher to marry the yavam, the potential yavam, and therefore even the tzara, even the co-wife, the wife, meaning if he was married to two different people, they're also going to be usher to marry them. For example, right? So we have Reuven and Shimon. So Reuven decides to marry Shimon's daughter. So Reuven marries Shimon's daughter. And also decides to marry Rachel, who is some random lady. So he marries Shimon's daughter, who is Leah, and he marries Rachel, who is not related to Shimon whatsoever. So now, if Reuven dies, Reuven had two wives. He had Rachel and Leah was not related at all to Shimon, and Rachel was related to Shimon. I think that's how I said it. I hope I didn't get confused. And so now when they both come before Shimon, you can't say, okay, fine, so just have Rachel not marry Shimon because she's unrelated, and Leah's allowed to. That's the concept of a tzara, that the co-wife is also exempt from Yibum. That's what we're going to learn over here. And why is it only 15? Because we're going to explain that if any of these were married, these are the only possibilities, because if the other 21, the other 6, are going to be situations where the first marriage was done Be'isr Erva, and then if the first marriage was done Be'isr Erva, the concept of Yibum will never get off the ground. That's what we're going to learn Be'ez Hashem later. Not only that, but Tzaros Arosein, also co-wives of their co-wives, meaning And they're also exempt from Yibam Chalitza. So how do you have this case? If you have the case where the person had more than one brother, and the widow was an erva only to one of the brothers, meaning if you have Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, and so Reuven decides to marry his niece, so then he ends up dying, and then you have Shimon and Levi. So, and Shimon was the father of this lady, of his niece. So now, when Reuven died, so now only to Shimon is there a tzara. But when it comes to Levi, Levi is perfectly mutter to marry this person. Let's say so Levi does Yibum on Reuven's wife, who was Shimon's daughter. So then if Levi then ends up dying, not only is Reuven's previous wife, who is now, it was Aser, who's Shimon's daughter, she was the tzara of Shimon. So now she also is going to be, if she later goes to the other brother, they're going to also exclude Levi's wife now, who is not related at all to Shimon. She's also going to be excluded from the concept of Yibum. Okay, so that's what's going on over here, and that's also so Tzara Tzara saying mina chalitza umina Yibum, both from the requirement of chalitza or from the requirement of Yibum ad sof haolam, the exemption of the Tzara Tzara can continuous forever, meaning in the case where we have below, where if you had the three brothers, let's introduce the fourth brother, Reuven, Shimon, Levi. Now you have Yehuda. Then if Levi dies, so his two wives are going to be able to be taken by Yehuda by Yibum. If he performs Yibum with whoever it is, Sarah, so then he takes another wife, he takes Rachel, she now is going to be the Tzara of the Tzara's Tzara. She's going to be so we had Sarah and Rachel, so those two people are going to be the co-wife of Sarah and Rachel, and therefore, so if Yehuda dies childless, his two wives, Sarah and Rachel, are going to fall before the original brother of Shimon. They're going to be excluded from Yibum and Chalitza because of the Tzara. And Tzara is going to be the other issue. Meaning that the other woman who was permitted to marry Levi did so. And then she was, since her original co-wife, her Tzara's was not allowed to, she's not in the picture anymore, but she was not allowed to marry the original person, she is going to be exempted. Again, these are difficult. I recommend using the charts. You know, Be'ez Hashem, I'm going to try using, I think it's Shayach, I should specifically try to use the art school charts, because we could keep the names in check for those who want to use the pictures that they're going to use. So Be'ez Hashem, I'm going to try to use the art school pictures and look at them. I was using Ozbad there, but I think it's more Shayach for me to start using the art school one. So we'll try now. I'm going to look at the art school pictures to use the same examples in order to make it a little bit easier if you want to try to be able to look at the pictures. Now, what Velein? How are these examples? Now the Gemara is going to list into these examples. Bito. The first one is the Yavam's daughter. So if you have the person died, he had married his brother's daughter, and then he died without children. So the widow would come before her own father for Yibum, and therefore it's usher her for her to marry her. The Rashi points out that this case is specifically talking to where we didn't get married yet. They had him out of wedlock, because we're going to have the example of Bas Ishto, which is the same exact thing as Bito. The only difference where they actually got married. So this is from a different limud that Yavam's daughter is, even where they weren't even married yet, that's still going to be an Isser. That's even that is going to be an Isser to marry one's daughter, even if it's out of wedlock, that's going to be Usher as well. And that's still going to be applicable to the lafaz of a tzara. Uvas Bito and his daughter's daughter. Uvas Bino and his son's daughters. Now we're on three on the list over here. So in these examples, so if you marry the person's, his brother's granddaughter, and then he died without children, so then what happens is the widow is going to fall before her own grandfather for Yibum, because it's also his brother, and therefore that's going to be Usser. The granddaughter by a son and by a daughter is going to be, again, also out of wedlock, because we're going to have the example of Bas Bina as the Hemshech right now. Bas Ishtom, the fourth case, is the Yavam's wife's daughter. As we just mentioned, this is now the only difference between this and the case of Bito, is that this case they were actually married, according to Rashi. Uvas Bina, the fifth case, is the son's daughter. Uvas Bita and her daughter's daughter. The daughter's daughter over here is talking about a case where he married the daughter or granddaughter of his brother's wife, and then he died without children. So, example, Reuven married the daughter or the granddaughter of Shimon's wife. So then Reuven's then dies. So she should come to Shimon for Yibum, but the Yibum is not possible because she is the wife, because she is his wife's daughter or granddaughter, which is an erva. So therefore, it's going to be Usser. That's going to be Usser for them also. So fine, that would be that case over there. Chamoso. If you have the Yavam's mother-in-law, Ve'im Chamoso, the mother-in-law's mother-in-law, Ve'im Chamiv, or his father-in-law's mother. So how do we have the case of, again, so that's where the brother married the first husband, okay, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven's mother-in-law gets married to Shimon, so then Shimon dies, that's going to be the case of his mother-in-law, and then mother-in-law, if Shimon decides to marry Reuven's mother-in-law's mother. That also going to be Aser Ve'im Chamev, his father-in-law's mother. How do you have so a man's mother-in-law was, how do you have this case? If she was widowed, and then she married his brother, if the brother died without children, the mother-in-law, that case is going to be Aser. That's going to be an example of all these, of the examples of Chamoso, of Eim Chamoso. And then we have Eim Chamav. If you have the father-in-law's mother, the father-in-law's mother, Eim Chamoso, that's also going to be Aser over here. And Achosom Imo, the Yavam's maternal sister, the Yavam's sister from his mother's side. So let's give an example. If you have a man who is married with a son, so let's say Reuven, from a previous marriage, he married a woman with a daughter, Sarah, from a previous marriage. So then they had another son, Shimon, together. So Reuven and Shimon, Reuven is Shimon's half-brother on his father's side. And then you have, on his mother's side, he is going to be, Shimon is the half-sister of on the mother's side. So Reuven and Sarah are not related at all. So they're even allowed to marry each other. So if Reuven dies without any children, Sarah would come to Yibum for Shimon for consideration for Yibum. However, she is not allowed to because she is his maternal sister, and therefore she and any of the tzaroseim and the co-wives are going to be usher to do yibum and chalitza. That's what we're going to say. V'achos imo, his mother's sister. So how do you have achos imo? If you have a man who with two wives and has a son from each of them, a man has two wives and has a son from each of them, the son of one wife is permitted to marry the sister of the other wife. So how are we going to have this? Let's give an example. Again, I'm going to use the art school choice. If you want to look, Achos Imo. If you have Yaakov married Rachel and Chana. So we have Yaakov marrying Rachel and Chana. And then they had Reuven and Shimon, two children. So Rachel's son, Reuven, is not allowed to marry Chana's sister because she would be allowed to marry Chana's sister, because that, in the example we just gave, that would not be his halachic aunt. However, Shimon is the halachic aunt of Chana's sister, which would be, therefore, it's Aser Isser Medaraisa to marry one's aunt. It's mutter for a man to marry his niece, but there's an Isser Medaraisa on a man to marry his aunt. It's very interesting. We're going to see it's even a mitzvah to marry one's niece. Reuven is married to his paternal's brother's aunt. So if he dies without children, his widow should fall before Shimon for Yibum, but she is forbidden to him because she's his aunt, and therefore she's Erva, and she is exempt from her and from her tsaros. Her co-wives are going to be exempt from Yibum or Chalitza. They don't have to do either one. V'achos Ishto, his wife's sister. If you have two brothers marrying two sisters, and one of them dies childless, so then the widow falls before the brother's sister. That's going to be Aser, because that's an Erva, because she's not allowed, a man is not allowed to marry two sisters. V'eshes Achiv Me'imo, and his maternal's brother's wife. So if you have over here, Ashes Achiv Be'imo, if you have over here, you have Reuven, who he has a son from a previous marriage, and he marries Levi from a previous marriage, then they have another son, Shimon, together. So Shimon, on the side of his second marriage, has two brothers. Reuven is from his father's side, and Levi is from his mother's side, who are not related to each other. So if Levi dies, so then what happens to his wife is that she's going to be permitted to marry Reuven. If after marriage to Reuven, so then what happens to Shimon, how is her relationship to Shimon? She's going to be usher on two ends. She's going to be the former wife of his brother on his mother's side, Levi. And also, if Reuven then dies without children, she would not be in position to fall before Shimon before Yibum. Now, the Isser is going to be marrying the brother's wife applies to the wife of both the paternal and the maternal brother. However, the Isser is only removed from the paternal brother, as mentioned earlier in the introduction. So therefore, on this edge, we can only uproot one Isser, but we can't uproot both Issers, and therefore, in this case, it's going to be Aser for him to do Yibum. Okay, turning on to the next Amud. It was only, it's not even six lines, and it was extremely difficult stuff. We just spent 20 minutes here. So, V'eshes Achiv Shaloya Ba'olamot, the wife, if his brother wasn't alive yet. So what's this case over here? So the mitzvah of Yibum only applies to a brother who's alive. So let's say you have Reuven who dies, and he has a widow, right? And the brother Shimon, and he has a brother Shimon. So after his death, Levi is born. So therefore, the widow is going to be usher to marry Levi. The widow, meaning if she then does Yibum with Shimon, she did Yibum with Shimon, and then Shimon dies. She can't do Yibum with Levi because the Isser only because she was an Isser of Eishes Ach. She was usher to do Yibum, and therefore, because she was not alive in the time when Reuben had originally died, and therefore she was usher to him, and therefore afterwards mitzad eishes ach, and therefore she was never shaykh to Yibum, and therefore she's usher to Yibum even after the fact. That would be the case of eishes ach shalo yabam. Alma v'chalaso and his daughter-in-law. The case of the daughter-in-law is if a man married, if a man's married son had died, and then what happened was the brother died without any children, leaving his wife to fall for Yibum to her former father-in-law. So there, in that case, the widow, so she was months married to the Yavam's daughter-in-law, is usher forever to him as an erva, even though the son is no longer alive, so therefore she's pater from Yibum Chalitza, and so to her and her co-wives are also going to be pater from Chalitza. Now, Harei Elu Pteros Haroseyan Pteros Haroseyan Mechalita Mina Yibum Ad Soifa Olam. These 50 women exempt their co-wives and their co-wives' co-wives from the requirement of Chalita and the requirement of Yibum forever. Meaning that we're going to discuss that. Meaning that if they had 100 people, we're going to see that in the Hemshech. We'll see exactly how that will go. And the Mishnah continues V'chaloso Im Mesu. However, if any of these 15 women had been married once, the Yavan's brother, and had died before he did, so meaning that you have onus or meonu, or they did the concept of meon. Meon is where you're refusal. Midaraisa, a man marries off his daughter from before the age of which is bitoktana. That's an it's a dindaraisa. He's allowed to marry her off. However, when the father dies, so the Chazal established midarabanan that the older brother who's over the age of bar mitzvah, the older brother or the mother can marry her off. It's a shalom rishonim. Can even she marry herself off midarabanan? However, since it's only fully a midarabanan, we don't want her to be promiscuous. We want her to be married. So if she refuses this marriage, she has the right to refuse it, and it uproots the marriage even lamafreya. No, when your person gets divorced, it's only from now on going onward. As opposed to when you do miyun, it uproots the whole marriage and gantzen the whole thing. So the whole point over here, if any of these 15 women who had once been married to the Yavam's brother, so they're atzara. So let's say again, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven decides to marry Shimon's daughter. So Shimon's daughter was married to. So Reuven was married to Shimon's daughter, and Reuven also married Leah. So he married again. Chana was Shimon's daughter, and he married Leah, who was not related at all. So now, theoretically, if Reuven dies, so then Chana's also going to be pater, even though she's not related at all, because of the fact that Rachel was related to, I think Rachel was the example I used, Rachel was related to Shimon, so therefore, it's going to make it usher for her to marry if Reuven dies. What happens though if Chana died first? Chana, the relative of Shimon, Shimon's daughter dies first, and then so it's only Leah who's not related at all to Shimon. I hope I didn't get confused with the names. So Leah who's not related at all. So that's the case of this Mishnah. If they died, if the Tzara died, or Minu, or let's say the example we had, Chana had done Miun on Reuven. She decided to refuse him on his Garshu, or they divorced. If Chana divorced Reuven at the time of, before the time of his death, before Reuven had died, or if Chana was found to be an islandist. Islandist is somebody who's not able, incapable of having any children. If your person is incapable to have any children, we see what's a mekachtos, and the whole marriage is uprooted, as if they were never married. So then, in those cases, saroseim mutaros. Their co-wives are permitted, again, as long as when the time when Reuven actually dies, in that example, we would assume that it's mutter for the other girl, not Chana, to have Rachel, to then marry Shimon. That would be okay, because the erva had already died and not been relevant in the time where it came time to do Yibum. However, you can't say with the one's mother-in-law or mother-in-law's mother-in-law or father-in-law's mother-in-law, all those examples, she didn't say islandist. Definitely can't say that they're an islandist, because an islandist is someone who can't have children. If the person's father-in-law, then Nevada, they can't have any children, and therefore it's going to be it's not going to be valid. Shininta Island so Shemianu or Shemianu. Or if they refused those examples, it can't be done because they're Gatolim who had children. So obviously they didn't do Meun because they were related and they had children, so therefore it's going to be something which is going to be impossible. Now the Mishnah continues. Ketzad patar saying. Now in the example of these 15 arayos, how do they patra the wife, their co-wives also from Chalitz or Yibum? If a man's daughter or any of these arayos are married to his brother, like the example we've gave many times over, and a person married his niece, v'lo isha acheres, he had another wife as well, umes, and this brother died, so we have Reuven and Shimon. Shimon married Reuven's daughter, and then Shimon dies. So then, and Shimon had two wives. Shimon didn't have Reuven's daughter. He also had another wife, Leah. So So this Leah, even though she's not related at all she's not related at all to Reuven, she's not allowed to do Yibum. Shem Shebita Ptura, just like as daughter, is now Pater from marrying Reuven, because you're not shy of Chalitza Yibum. Kaf Tarasa Ptura, so too, the co-wife is Pater as well. The both of these are going to be as well, and therefore it's going to be that's going to be an exemption. Halcha tzaras bito v'nisis l'achiv asheni. If his daughter's co-wife went and married the second brother, so now we're talking about not just two brothers. Now we have Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. So Reuven married Shimon's daughter. Let's call her Sarah, and then and another woman, and then Reuven. So again, Reuven married Shimon's daughter and also another woman, and then died childless. But so he can't do Yibum or Chalitza to Shimon, but Levi's alive, so they do Yibum or Chalitza to Levi. Levi is required to either Yibum Chalitza to one of the widows. So then, let's say he does Yibum to one of these widows. So then, Al Chatzaras beat of Nasa the Achiv Hashini. She went married the other brother. Velo Isha Acheres, and she also another wife. So then, Umeis, and the second brother then died also childless. So then again, Levi dies right now. So in this example, Levi dies. So now she should go. They're all going back now to. They can't go to. They're going back to Shimon. So now, Kishim should. So in this example, we're again, when Reuven had two wives. Reuven married the daughter of Shimon and also random woman. Random woman was the one who decides to do. Only one of them does Yibum Chalitza. So the random woman is the one who does Yibum Chalitza with Levi. So the random woman does the Chalitza Levi. So now Levi dies. Nobody's related back to Reuven. But since she was the tzara, since she at one time was a co-wife of Shimon's daughter, so therefore, since that and there was an iser for them to do Reuven, that is going to pater the third wife, the wife of both Levi's wives right now, the one who's not related anymore, and the one who was never related at all, both of them are going to be pater from Yibum Chalitza. That's the case over here. The daughter's wife is exempt from Yibum Chalitza, kach taras, taras aptura, so too is the co-wife exempt from Yibum and Chalitza. The daughter's Torah is exempt from the previous case, again, because that's what I just mentioned before. That's the case of Taras of Tura. Afilu and Mea, that's what I mentioned over here. Even if there are 100, that this system could keep going on. If you imagine there was 100 brothers, the Taras Sarah married a third brother, who also died childless, leaving two widows, and then the second widow, the Taras Sarah, married a fourth brother, and so on and so forth. This could keep on going. Both of them are always going to be usher to marry the original person. Ketzad. So how is this going to be the case with any of the 15 arayos died before the husband or refused? What's the case? So then, imes to start saying mutaris, if their co-wives had, if they died, if their co-wives died, they're going to be butter. Hi, sabito achas, with arayos, say the nusas achas. So the Mishnah says before, it's the example I just gave. If a man's daughter or any of the other arayos were married to his brother, veloisha acheris, and he also had another wife, and what happened? Mes sabito nusgarsha, and in this case, either the man's daughter died or was divorced before, in the case of Reuven and Shimon, so Reuven marries Shimon's daughter, so Reuven has another wife as well. Reuven ends up divorcing Shimon's daughter, or marriage to her, she dies. In all those examples, Valkach Mesa Achiv, and then Shimon dies, Tarasa Bataris, that the other co-wife of Reuven, and then Reuven dies, then the other wife would be permitted to marry Shimon. And any other 15 rishos who was able to do the refusal process, but they did not do so, meaning she's still a katana. She's still a katana at this point, but she can do miyun, but she didn't yet. Tarasa chaletzes v'lo misyabemes. Her co-wife requires chalitza, but may not be doing yibum. She's not allowed to do yibum because when the husband dies, at the end of the day, this only did rabbanan, and she really could do it. Since at the end of the day, midir rabbanan, she's married, we don't want to uproot it by doing miyun over here. In this case, that's all shayla. We're going to get into that. If she doesn't do miyun, can she force to miyun? Bez Hashem, we'll get to that. Now let's just go a little bit weiter. So the Gemara wants to analyze the case of the 15 women. Michti, let's analyze this. Kulo ma'achos isha yalfinan. All these 15 women, their exemption come from the psukim that discuss achos isha, as we're going to learn on Gimel Mabez, that the isser is going to come out from achos isha. That's the lima that we're going to learn out all these turim. So litni achos isha berisha. Why doesn't the Tana mention the case of the wife's sister? That's the actual case in the din of the Torah that we're going to learn it all the other cases out from. Why don't you mention that case first? So the Gemara is going to say v'chi teina teima tana chumre nakat. You're going to tell me that the Tana specifically talked about in the level of isurim and which one is more chumre than the other ones. So the Gemara is going to say that, meaning the Samar Chayav Death, Samar Karis. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon, Damar Srifa Chabura. And the one that, and this is going to follow the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, who said that Srifa is more Chama. There's a fundamental machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Tanakama with regards to which of the capital punishments is the worst. We're familiar with Srifa Herik Chenek. That is the order of the Tanakam. That's how we pass it. Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that it's Srifa Skila Chenek Herik. He understands that's the four orders. So maybe our Mishnah is beginning with the case of one's daughter and continues that because that's the case where it's going to be the most severe punishment of Srefa. So you could respond that's not going to be it's going to be the case. He should teach the case of one's mother-in-law first, the Ikra Srefa Chamos Ksiva. Because the main psukim that discussed with the halacha of Srefa is referenced to one's mother-in-law. And in those psukim, as we learned it out to learn it from the daughter, but that's actually learned out from the case of the mother-in-law, as the psukim stated in Vayikra. So therefore, if the ikar pasuk, as Rashi tells us, the pasuk over here, it's talking about specifically first, as imaso, so it's first talking about the mother-in-law. So, oh, not only that, Basra Chamosa Lisne Kalaso. After listening to one's mother-in-law, you should mention the case of the daughter-in-law, the Basra Sreva Skila Chabur. Even according to Rav Shimon, the after burning, stoning is the most severe form of punishment. So therefore, it can't be that that is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. This Mishnah will not line up with Rabbi Shimon. So therefore, the Gemara says, Ela Bito came into the ice of the Midrasha, Chavivale. Rather, the prohibition of one's daughter, since it's derived from Sukkim, it's Chamor, it's dear, not Chamor, it's dear, it's lovely to the Tana, and therefore we mention that case first. The Torah doesn't say it so explicitly, but things that the Chazal learned out from Sukkim, it's more Chaviv, it's a whole deeper Kavana. What does this mean? It's more Chaviv, and therefore we mention that first. Okay, but Ezra Shem will pick up with Kulu Nami Midrasha Asu. I recommend highly, if you're able to look at the charts, to try to analyze a little bit more. My apologies in the beginning. I wasn't using the article of pictures, but I realized I really should be because I think it's helpful for you guys to be able to use the examples that they're going to use. Beis Hashem, I'm going to try to do that from now going forward to use their examples of the names so you could just have clarity when we have these complicated cases. Beis Hashem, we'll ask Yad Shmaya to be able to continue together.